Blog Talk Radio.
My minions, welcome to the Balance. My name is Tom Mark LaSalle, Presidente. We do this thing called the Balance every Saturday morning. So good to have you along. And guess what this weekend is? I tell you what, it's one of the biggest weekends in sports. I like to think so. Certainly one of the most, counterproductive weeks there could be. Anyway, excuse me, depending on if I can keep my voice. But it's the day before Selection Sunday, baby. March Madness is yet to be unleashed. Wait to see what the committee and all of its wisdom has to say about the big dance and how it'll play out first. But, you know, then we got Tony Donahue of the Tony D Podcast will be joining us, helping us break down what's going to happen in March Madness. And then, as you may have known, the NFL has been kind of a frenzy this week with all the NFL free agents going on. So we're bringing on our official NFL contributor, Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com. This is a rare off-season visit, and it's going to be talking to some free agents with us, and we'll see what he has to do about some moves. We've seen a big move we're going to be talking about with the Indianapolis Colts. More to come on that in today's show. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. Stick around. It's about to get really, really good.
Go back to this mobile home. That's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do better. Lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better go escaping through this hole that is gaping. This world is mine for the taking. Make me king as we move toward a new world order. A normal life is boring, but super.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. In addition, the Air Guard serves the state and local community in a wide range of capacities. The reason people join the Air Guard is as diverse as our members and includes such reasons as a deep desire to serve their country, money for college, travel, new job skills, and the pride that goes along with belonging to the greatest military organization in the world. I joined because I felt a calling to serve my country, but I didn't want to be far away from my family, so the Indiana Air National Guard was a perfect fit for me. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. Again, that's 1-800-841-3103. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them. Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, that went in my eyes.
Quit moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA. Love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I haven't seen on the board. Do you guys have Black Rifle coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so,
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes, but it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wondering.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good. Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is time to jump into our March Madness talk. If you want to call in and talk about your potential bracket, what's going on, who you think might be your first in, a first out, whatever, give me a call, 917-889-8516. We're standing by for Tony Donahue of the Tony D podcast. We're going to be talking with him about March Madness coming up this year. The things that we're looking at, right? What's going to happen tomorrow? Well, I'll tell you, it's basically the brackets are going to come out. And those are where we get the opportunity to exalt our wisdom and our smarts, if you will. Or, you know, in my real job, I put together a bracket. We've got about 52 people in it. One bracket, $10, winner take all. And so talking to one girl there at the office, one of my colleagues, she goes, I don't know anything about it, but I'll do it. She goes, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pick my favorite mascot, my favorite color, and oh, that guy's cute. And you know what? That's probably a pretty wise way to put it because it is kind of a crapshoot. You know, I know I'm the one. And if, by the way, digress here for just a second. We will be having our annual March Madness brackets. Melissa's going to be getting that bracket link up on social media. All you have to do is click it and put in some basic information. And the only thing that you have to do is you have to have an ESPN profile. It's free, easy. And we don't charge anything. We just do it for fun. And so if you want to join the fun, feel free to click that link. We'll also have it up on the Book of Faces on our March Madness as well. Now, I'm the kind of guy that I like to I'll probably do a few brackets this year, obviously one with my other job, my real job, if you will, and I'll pay special close attention. In fact, I'll probably overthink it, but I want to give myself the best opportunity to win. And so we're kind of waiting on Tony Donahue to join us. If we can't connect with him, we'll still continue our conversation. So certainly give us a call, 917-889-8516, if you want to chime in on your thoughts on March Madness. And, it's a fun time of year. You know, there's been studies that show that it's probably the least productive week at work. So, you know, CBS used to have a pretty cool thing. I don't know if they still do it. where it was called the boss's view, and you click the boss's view, and it brought up this fake spreadsheet or whatever. So if you walk by, you'd see, you know, like spreadsheets or something, all in fun, you know. But, yeah, it's March Madness, and it is St. Patrick's Day tomorrow as well. So, hey, we got the twofer on a Sunday. You know, the brackets will be released, bracket Sunday. And you guys, I'm going to tell you, I know it because it happens every year. Oh, it gets leaked. It doesn't get leaked. It gets released. And it's just that all these networks want to have all these shows put together. So they want to have all of that, you know. So we'll see. 917-889-8516 is our digit. So let's talk a little bit, some of the things that we look at when going into the bracket and what the bracket is, and, you know, some of the storylines and so forth, you know. So, you know, first of all, also it is the women's time of the year as well. I'm interested. I know I'm digressing. I'm interested just because I saw it flash on my screen here. And I live in Indianapolis, where we do our show high atop the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. But I am curious to see, and I'm not a big women's basketball follower, so I will follow on the sword through there. But I know the star that everybody's watching is Caitlin Kirkland, I believe is how you say her last name. And it is widely expected that she'll end up here in Indianapolis with the Indiana Fever. So I'm curious to see how she'll do in March, and just how Iowa will do overall. Will they win a national championship with her? That will be what I guess is the telltale if it can happen that way. Not sure, but we'll see. But I'm interested in that, and certainly get if you want to chat it up. We're still trying to get a hold of Tony Donahue and get his thoughts on stuff. So we don't really want to jump in on that with his stuff, but let's just go ahead and dive into it. Let's talk about Purdue, obviously Purdue and Zach Edey being the stud on that team, and Purdue to win the Big Ten tournament. IU to not go anywhere in the month of March, not even the NIT, I'm hearing. So, you know, there you go. Mike Woodson will be back for another year, so let's just the Indiana Hoosiers on ice until next year, as far as basketball goes. We'll see what happens. So this weekend, all the conference tournaments are ending up. Selection Sunday will be, again, on Sunday. Some teams have solidified themselves in the field of 68 through very strong performances in conference tournaments, while others have hurt their seeding positions and then sealed their fate with it, with shaky performances and early conference tournament exits. So who's your team? We'd like to know what your team is. Okay, looks like our friend Tony Donahue tweeted out that IU turned down the NIT, so that's why they're not going to be there. So we'll see. So it is bracketology. It is bracketology time, and that is a thing, believe it or not. Here's where I think, if you look at your bracketology, your top four seeds. We're going to go through those here in just a moment. Obviously, Purdue has sealed themselves as a number one seed. Houston, UConn, and North Carolina. Can UConn go back-to-back and get national championships from the number one seed? Let's talk about some of the use cases, if you will, for who we think will be in the top four seeds coming up tomorrow on Selection Sunday. And then we'll see if we can get into some other teams and conversations. There are plenty of teams, in my opinion, that seem more capable of making a big run in the tournament. The top seed in the tournament is a three-way race between Houston, UConn, and Purdue. All three teams have strong cases to earn the top seed. As I mentioned, it's certainly definite that the Boilermakers are. They're 28-3 in the season, and they have a chance to win back-to-back. And they won back-to-back Big Ten tournaments, certainly led by Zach Edey. And on paper, UConn is nearly identical to Purdue. The Huskies are 30-3 on the year, going on 11-3 in quad one games. They have a chance to bolster their Big East championship game on Saturday. Looks pretty good for them on that aspect, just like Purdue. Now, Houston, the number one NET team, which is going to be weird saying some of these divisions and stuff, has the most quad one wins this season with 14, and it's only three losses have been to quad one teams. The Cougars have had a chance at another quad one win in the Big 12 championship. What makes sense for Houston is a very impressive how the Cougars can seamlessly transition from the Big 12, and then Houston dominated it in the Atlantic, the AAC over the last 5 years, but jumping into the Big 12 was going to be a huge test. The Cougars passed that test with flying colors, going 15-3 in the conference, play to win arguably the best conference in college basketball. So I think they've got a real chance of being a number one seed. I'd almost be kind of shocked if they weren't. They call it madness for a reason. They call it madness for the reason. And here's the thing. Just because you are a number one seed doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to win a championship. I mean, it happens, and it can happen, but there's not been a lot that it has happened. So we'll be curious to see where the number one seeds end up at. And here's the thing. You always got to pay attention to some crazy bracket buster game, if you know what I mean. What do we know what happens with North Carolina State, Oregon, and FAU today or yesterday? So we have to go back and look at that. But, you know, you got teams that we say are on the bubble. Bubble ones. And so those would be like your teams, the first four out, last four in, the teams that had the last four buys, next four out, that sort of teams. So let's kind of look at what we've already talked about. Like we've predicted, number one seed should be Purdue, UConn, Houston, North Carolina. And then number two seeds, because Tennessee lost. Arizona lost. Marquette won, and Iowa State won. The last four by St. John's lost. Texas, Oklahoma, Virginia lost. Last four in, however, looks like maybe Texas A&M, who won. And then TCU, New Mexico, and Pittsburgh lost. First four out. Looks like Seton Hall. We talked about them, Seton Hall and Providence last week. Now, here comes the one that, you know, I have a few friends, actually, that went to Indiana State, and they've been very vocal about, you know, they should have got in. They lost to Drake. I mean, here's the thing. Indiana State has had a great team this year. And for those of you who don't know, just a refresh of your memory. That's where old Larry Bird went to college at. But Indiana State lost to Drake. They kind of sealed their own fate. There is an outside chance that they'll get in the dance tomorrow, but I'm kind of thinking it's not going to happen. And it sucks for them because they've had a really, really good season midway, and then things just started kind of falling apart. So I think the next four out would be Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, and Wake Forest. Now, some of the bubble teams, we know Indiana was a bubble team. Well, it's not going to happen now. So we could cross them off of our bubble watches. It's almost hard to say, isn't it? But we can put in North Carolina State. We can also put in the Jayhawks of Kansas City, Villanova, and Appalachian State. Those are all teams that are on the bubble that may or may not make it in. But I think we're relatively confident that North Carolina State will find its way into the dance. But here's the thing: when you look at your brackets, okay, where do you look at the most? Okay, the most wins, the most losses. Is it a 3 against a 14 seed, that sort of thing? And there's all kinds of what they call the bracketology mixes that you can find. Take some time, do your research. I mean, it's okay to do the autofill if you want to. That's fine. It's going to be all chalk. I think you run a greater than 50% chance of going deep in a autofill type bracket. But take some time. Look at your teams. You don't have to have all your brackets filled out on Monday or me on Sunday afternoon after that. You don't have to have them all filled. You fill them out. Go back and edit them. Maybe listen to this podcast, of course, but maybe listen to some other podcasts and just kind of go through, okay, why do I think this team might win? And here's the thing, all they have to do is win. You know, win and you keep going. So there are going to be some teams that we think are going to win and are going to do well that aren't. And they're going to be in a lot of brackets. And that's when you'll hear us refer to the term bracket buster. Happens every year. But if we could just predict on where it is going to happen, that would be where you could make a gazillion dollars, right? Share my knowledge. Share my knowledge, if you will. And this is what teams are going to do what. And that's not out there. Wish it was, though, right? Let's kind of take a look at where we're at right now. And let's just kind of go through some of these teams. As we've talked about Houston and Purdue, Tennessee lost its quarterfinal matchup against number 9 seeded Mississippi State in an embarrassing fashion, actually. And I'm a Tennessee guy. Melissa's a Tennessee gal. We like Tennessee. In fact, I'm going to be down in Tennessee this time next week. So I like Tennessee. But it was a disappointing loss. And it was embarrassing for them to lose to Mississippi State. North Carolina handled its quarterfinal matchup against Florida State with ease, 92-67, and followed that up with a semifinal victory over the Pittsburgh Panthers. Now Tennessee will still be in the dance. Don't get me wrong; they're gonna be right there, they're certainly gonna. I would not be surprised if they don't go to the Elite Eight. But still, Tennessee, come on now, you're better than that. Tar Heels' performance may shut the door on the Vols' hopes of earning the first number 1 seed in the program history, though. So might give North Carolina the nod in the final number 1 seed even before Tennessee's loss to Mississippi State. But I don't know that – I still don't know that even North Carolina, that I put them in my mix as the number 1 seed. It could be. I mean, that could be one of those things where I go back and I say I was wrong. I'd look for North Carolina and Tennessee both to be number 2 seeds, but we'll see. And we've been talking a little bit about bubble teams, and I think several teams could be classified a bubble team. Have made a splash in their perspective conferences. And I was hoping that IU. I'm an IU guy. I know I'm gonna keep licking that wound a little bit longer here. But I was hoping that they would go through, had at least had a puncher's chance to win the Big Ten tournament, despite of their pitiful season that they've had this year. Let's talk a little bit. We just talked about Mississippi State beating Tennessee. I think they're one of the last four teams receiving a bye that beat LSU in the first round of the SEC tournament before taking down, like I said, Tennessee and to advance to the semifinal. The Bulldogs now have a matchup with Auburn with a chance to advance to the championship game. Even if Mississippi State can't get past Auburn, the Bulldogs have left no question in my mind that they're worthy of an NCAA tournament bid, and they're worthy of a spot on the dance floor come Sunday. So we'll see. Another bubble team a lot of people are watching, Texas A&M, another SEC team on the bubble, made a strong case to be in the field of 68 in the SEC tournament as well. The Aggies beat Ole Miss before taking down the number two Kentucky 97-87. The win gave Texas A&M its sixth quad win of the season. Very, very good case that Texas A&M will be in the dance tomorrow. Also, let's look at Pittsburgh. I considered them to be one of the first teams out of the tournament picked up in the quad win of the season. Beating Wake Forest with my double digits on Thursday, the Panthers could have boosted their tournament chances with a win over North Carolina on Friday, but they came up short. Pitt helped its NCAA case by reaching the ACC tournament semifinal. So, and then here's where I was saying, and we talked about this last week when we were talking about last team in that batch of last, if you will. And that's Providence. They had a handful of key wins throughout the season, but needed more to make them a tournament. The Friars picked up a huge resume booster in the Big East tournament on Thursday, beating Creighton. And, you know, Creighton's another team that we see in March Madness, and it's like the Blue Jays. We never see them any other time of the year, but then here they are. But they did beat Creighton in advance of the semifinals. So, ultimately, Providence could not get it done against Marquette, but with six quad wins on the season now, it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see the Friars sneak into the big dance. Now, teams that are biting their knuckles right now are really nervous and edgy on the bubble, have to wait a decision of selection Sunday, but a handful might have earned a tournament bid throughout this week. So we'll see what happens with those teams. Very excited to see what's going to happen selection Sunday, and who's gonna be where. I'm curious. First team out, we'll see. Kind of look at the western side of the bubble takes over the stage. On selection ease on the East Coast, while Washington State and Colorado State are both safe, I believe, Colorado will need the Pac-12 tournament title to get in, while over in with the Rams might be enough for New Mexico after Thursday's win over Boise State. So we'll see where that's at. We're going to be on top of all of this on selection Sunday. And again, we're going to put out the brackets right here soon. And if they're not up right now, Melissa will be getting them up very soon. All you got to do is click the link and you're in. And if you played with us last year, you're more than welcome to join us again this year. You know, we don't have a limit, so we can go 1,000 people if we need to. And then like fantasy football, we do have a limit on how many we can let in. And we also have it up on the Book of Faces as well. So go there. If you're listening to us on the podcast on Spotify or iHeartRadio or Apple Podcasts or any of your Amazon, any of your platforms, and you're hearing this, you still got time to go in to there and put the link on there. I mean, click the link. Just go to our Twitter. We'll have it pinned for you so it's easy to find. And then just join our – you could do two brackets in our group. Just go ahead and get on that, get signed up early so that we've got you all set up. As far as bragging rights, and, you know, hey, sometimes that's the best prize that you can have. It's free. We're just doing that for fun. We do it every year. So we certainly hope that you take some time to join our March Madness. You can join everybody else's too, but join ours as well. We're going to have a lot of fun with it this year. We always do. It's something that we look forward to every year. So who's your team? Who do you think might win? We also would like to hear from you on the Twitter world or the X world, and, you know, and go from there. So we'll see if UConn can go back-to-back. It's been 17 years since Johalka Noah, Al Horfield, and Coy Brewer led Florida to consecutive national titles. It's been nearly as long since any team has made a serious run at back-to-back championship. Can that be UConn? We'll see. Purdue's going to have something to say about that. But, you know, we like to make jokes here in Indiana. Purdue can play basketball until they get to March Madness, and then they suck. So we'll see what happens. But for three straight years, Purdue has added to its reputation as a March Madness unachiever. Is that going to happen? Oh, man. I'd like to have a little fun with the Boilers. You know, I'm an IU guy. It comes naturally, right? Who else can win the national title? I mean, there are other teams out there outside of UConn and Purdue that have separated themselves into the field over the past few weeks. Well, we talked about Houston, you know, Kansas State. I don't know if Kansas State's going to go all the way to a national championship. Tennessee, wouldn't it be fun to watch them? Of course, you can never rule out the Tar Heels. You can never rule out the Kentucky Wildcats. You really can't rule out any SEC team, for that matter. But can Tennessee get to another Final Four? Can Kentucky or Alabama string enough to stop the NCAA to do well in the NCAA? So, again, if you're in the SEC, you know, everybody is watching you. I'm always interested in, and I like to say, there's a lot of things that go into a Cinderella team. What makes a Cinderella team? And, you know, if you remember a few years back when Butler went deep, that was a Cinderella team. If you look back when the team at Loyola a few years ago, that was a Cinderella team. So we'll see what kind of surprises that we see in basketball coming up here in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, one of the teams to look at, South Carolina could be one of those. Keep your eyes on that. You heard it here first on the balance. South Carolina could be one of those Cinderella teams that we're talking about. And there again, you know, there's going to be a lot of disappointments. There's going to be a lot of huge disappointments that come on Selection Sunday and come throughout the coming week or so during the game. So we'll see who knows. So my interesting bubble teams, if you will, that are still kind of like out there awaiting. Gonzaga, when was the last time we talked about Gonzaga? They're 18-6, and then they upset Kentucky last Saturday. Didn't secure Gonzaga's place in the NCAA tournament, but when was the last time we asked that question? Is Gonzaga Bulldogs going to be in the dance? Villanova, I've got them as kind of a bubble team of Washington State as well. My name is Tom Marcus, El Presidente. Make sure you get your brackets done, we're gonna pivot here, and we're going to get into our NFL free agency talk. The NFL's been a busy beehive this week, and we've got a lot to talk about. Big news with the Indianapolis Colts. We'll see. We'll bring that to the forefront as well. Next with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com and our official NASCAR contributor. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Rihanna, good girl going bad, take three, action, no clouds in my stones, let it rain, I hide your plane in the bank, coming down like a Dow Jones, when the clouds come we gone, we Rockefellers, we fly higher than weather, and deep clouds are better, you know me, in anticipation for precipitation, stack chips with a rainy day. Jay, Rain Man is back with Little Miss Sunshine. Rihanna, where you at?
You have my heart. When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them! Stay back! I've got mace!
Ow! They're one of my eyes!
We're moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I haven't seen on the board. Do you guys have Black Rifle Coffee here?
No, I'm sorry. We only carry good small batch coffee here.
Well, it is great small batch coffee.
Well, that really can't be unless it's fresh roasted, so, you know.
Well, it is fresh roasted.
I don't think you know what that means. You know what this is? This is Masa Lekwa Pike, which, of course, in the Indonesian language... Oh, let me finish. In the Indonesian language, it's weasel coffee.
You just made that up.
No, it's been passed through their digestive tract.
That's disgusting.
And then it's nature's wet processing.
Yeah, but is it good?
I mean, it's all right. Are they investor philanthropists? Do they support good causes?
Yeah, tons of causes. Veterans causes and first responder causes. But it doesn't matter because they make good coffee. So that's what I'm wanting.
Do you have any?
You know what? Actually, I'm just going to order it. They make it fresh and roasted.
Okay. Right.
Black Rifle Coffee.
It's good. Welcome back to The Balance. Thank you for joining us for the last half hour, breaking down the March Madness, the bracketology, who's going to be in, who's going to be out. As we talked about, it looks like, in my opinion, it's going to be Purdue, UConn, Houston, and we'll see who's going to be that other fourth team in. We'll see if it's going to be North Carolina. I don't think it's going to be Tennessee. We'll get our brackets done. Joining us now in an off-season visit is Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, going to help us break down the buzz that's been going on in the NFL this week. How are you, sir?
Oh, busy. It's been a busy week, Tom. I mean,
busy bee time. A lot going on, a lot to talk about. There's more than March Madness going on right now, that's for sure. Been an exciting free agency season, and we'll get into the teams here in just a second, but just a quick observational inquiry, if you will, or question. It feels like, it seems like the NFL has been way more active in the NFL free agency this week than we have seen in years past. Is that true, or is that just me making things up to talk about on my podcast?
No, I think it's true, and I think the reason for that is the salary cap went up, you know, about a week before the free agency began, the NFL announced that it was going to jump up like $30 million. So suddenly, you know, teams that didn't have a lot to spend now have a lot to spend, and they're spending it. And, you know, we've seen so many moves and so many contracts being handed out, big contracts too. Nothing too crazy. I mean, you could argue maybe a couple of them are maybe a little out of line, but I just think the fact that teams have money after this big infusion of salary cap money has led to what we've seen this week, and that's, you know, teams going out and trying to win free agency.
Well, certainly one of the teams that have won free agency, we'll start right there in your own backyard, and we'll move around the league a little bit, but is the Philadelphia Eagles. You got Kenny Pickett. You got Barkley. You got a whole handful of teams. So I know you're there in the mix. So first of all, let's let you put your media hat and just kind of go through the week with us, and then we'll kind of break down some of these individual players that the Eagles have landed. And can we say Super Bowl yet with the Eagles? I don't know, but you're back in the conversation, guys. Last year's in the rearview, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not a big fan of a team that wins free agency. I mean, what it means to me when you bring guys in is now you're going to have to, you know, indoctrinate them into your culture. You're going to have to get them all pulling on the same end of the rope and work together and build that chemistry in the locker room. And the more guys you bring in, I think the harder that is to do. Now, would I rather be the Philadelphia Eagles who went out and made all these moves as opposed to, say, the Dallas Cowboys, which haven't done really anything because of their salary cap situation? I mean, Dak Prescott's going to count $59 million on their salary cap. That's just bad management. And you look at the New York Giants, you know, staying in the NFC East. Daniel Jones, $47 million on their salary cap. I mean, I just don't get it. Look at Jalen Hurts in Philly. He only counts $13 million on the Eagles' salary cap. You know, kudos to Howie Roseman. He just knows his way around the salary cap situation. But the players he brought in certainly, you know, are star players like a Saquon Barkley. But again, questions with him. I mean, he's played 6 years behind terrible offensive lines of the New York Giants. He's taken a lot of hits. He's played on that unforgiving and much maligned turf at MetLife Stadium that's caused, you know, countless ACL injuries. What does he have left? I mean, yeah, he's a big name, good player. I think he's got some years left, but we'll see. And, you know, you look at another guy they brought in, Kenny Pickett, you mentioned, the quarterback. I mean, what's he going to do? He's going to impress everybody in the preseason, and then he's going to wear a baseball hat on the sidelines for the rest of the year behind Jalen Hurts. You know, if Hurts gets hurt, I guess it's good to have him, you know, waiting in the wings. They also have another young kid they drafted last year who they were high on, Tanner McKee out of Stanford. But you look at the Eagles' salary cap at quarterback, it's only like $15 million for three quarterbacks. And then you look at Jones and Prescott, and they're killing the caps of those teams. So, you know, another guy the Eagles brought in, obviously, is the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Was here 2 years ago, was a big part of that Eagles Super Bowl run. 2 years ago, he had led the league in interceptions with 6, and even though he missed 5 games, that still stood up. But he's an injury-prone guy. He only played 2 games with the Lions last year, torn pec muscle. But he's a playmaker when he's out there. You just got to make sure you can keep him out there. Bryce Huff, a pass rusher they signed from the Jets, he had 10 sacks last year. Before that, he only had like 4 in 3 years. So, you know, he's an ascending player. The Eagles are paying him on talent at 25 years old. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if he's able to keep taking steps towards getting better. So, you know, all these free agents, and that's on any team, they all come with question marks, and there's reasons their teams didn't keep them, find a way to keep them. So, you know, we'll see how it all gels together for the Eagles with all these names and some of these other teams, too, that have brought in a bunch of new guys as well.
Well, the Eagles have been getting a lot of attention. Of course, this is a textbook Howie Roseman on display, right? I'm interested to see how this happens. You know, it's not necessarily having anything to do with free agency, but of course, Jason Kelce retired, and what a great speech he gave, by the way. I have to give him one of the top retirement speeches ever. You know, he just really kind of talked to the working class people there in Philadelphia. I loved it. And, you know, I've become a fan of Jason Kelce over the years, and his brother for that matter. What's going on with him and his future? Does he still have a spot within the organization and still figuring that out? And most importantly, I guess the question would be, who is now going to be the guy to fill the shoes of Jason Kelce, if that's even possible?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Tom. You know, all this, you know, all the talk of the Eagles and their moves in free agency, you kind of forget that, yeah, oh, by the way, Jason Kelce retired, and that's a huge loss. And, oh, Fletcher Cox isn't coming back either.
you know, one of the most dominant players of the 2010s, one of the all-decade team of the NFL. Two huge losses. And Kelce, everybody looked up to that guy in the locker room. And he's just, like you said, he's just a genuine, down-to-earth, average guy, isn't afraid to be who he is, puts himself out there. One of the most genuine guys I've ever covered in my career. Super guy. You can talk to him about anything. And I did, just a good dude. And who's going to replace him? I mean, good luck. It's going to be, look at Mac Jones trying to fill the shoes of Tom Brady when Brady left. I mean, it just ruined him. You know, I don't know how good Mac Jones was coming out of college or what they thought he could be, but, you know, I'm sure having to fill the shoes of Tom Brady was in the back of his mind. And whoever comes in for the Eagles to do that, and it's probably going to be Cam Jurgens, a kid they drafted 2 years ago from Nebraska in the second round, who played guard this year. They drafted him on Kelce's recommendation. Kelce watched a lot of tape on Jurgens when he came out of Nebraska and said, yeah, this is the guy that I think can do the job. And the Eagles took him based on that report from Kelce, and now we'll see if he can at least, you know, maybe wear one of the shoes that Kelce, you know, one of the two shoes that Kelce put on every week. I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's going to be hard because he was so good at reading defenses. He was so athletic and able to get to the second level and, you know, lead to big gains on the ground. There's a reason the Eagles were so successful running the ball these last couple of years, and a lot of it had to do with Kelce. So, yeah, you forget that how he did retire because of all the news the Eagles made this week. So it's good you bring that up because – That cannot get overlooked. And the speech was just epic, in my opinion.
I loved it. I loved it. It's certainly one of the best I've ever seen. Let's go on over to my hat. Put my hat on here, the Indianapolis Colts. I give them a B. I give them a, you know, hey, they're at least showing some effort. Here's the thing. I'm seeing a lot of positive stuff being done by Chris Ballard. And I don't know if that's because his seat's starting to heat up. You know, they gave him a seven-year reboot a couple years ago. We're in that third year now. He's got to start showing something for the money that he's getting paid. And he's had a very long tenure with the Colts. And frankly, I think the fans are really getting tired of Chris Ballard being here and ready for a fresh face. So I think there's a lot of combinations why the Colts are doing a lot of the things they're doing. We'll start with quarterback situation. Obviously, Anthony Richardson, presumed, knock on wood, we'll be back and be our savior of the quarterback situation after so many years of being without one. And then we brought in Joe Flacco from Cleveland and everywhere other team in the NFL for that matter. But, you know, hopefully, as you and I talked about offline, hopefully, you know, he'll collect his $8.7 million on the sideline there. And we don't have to see him, and he'll do a great job of mentoring Anthony Richardson. And I thought it was great that they extended the contract with Jack Anderson, Zaire Franklin, huge extension. And then to resign Michael Pittman Jr. and Tyquan Lewis and Grover Stewart and Sanchez and Kenny Moore II, all great combinations for our offense that we need. And so we'll see how all of that plays together. And, you know, one of the biggest things, and I've been dying to talk about this, I sent this over to you this morning, and this has been all over Twitter, but Destin Adams says, you know, sources tell myself, A to Z Sports NFL, that the Chiefs and Colts are ironing out the final details of a trade that would send their quarterback, Jarius Sneed, to Indianapolis. I'm told the Colts are sending a 2024 third and an additional pick in 2025. I like that setup. I like that compensation. That is good. Local media guy here, Stephen Holder, been around the league for a long time, used to work for ESPN. I think maybe he still works for ESPN, but he's very well known and very well connected. And he said, I'm a see it, kind of believe it kind of guy. And right now I'm leaning to the fact that this trade won't even happen. And that kind of goes along with what you and I talked about. So overall, I know I just threw a lot at you there to ingest, but overall, what are your thoughts about the Indianapolis Colts and what they've done in this free agency period?
Did you mention the punter, Rigoberto Sanchez? I mean, you know, listen, yes. Punters are people too, and I'm glad he's a good punter.
He got re-signed for $7.5 million. I do apologize for that. He's a very important person on the team.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. Hey, the Eagles re-signed their punter too. So yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a big position that doesn't get a lot of love in a lot of quarters. But yeah, I'm just kind of kidding around. Obviously, Pittman and Franklin and Kenny Moore, you know, they're kind of the headliners, I think, in that class. And I love those three moves. I mean, you need a wide receiver like Pittman. If Anthony Richards is going to come back, you know, you want him to have weapons around him. I mean, I think they could still do more at that position, obviously, and maybe they find the answers in the draft, you know, bringing in some weapons to give to Anthony Richardson. Certainly having Taylor would help, you know, because you don't want Richardson running the ball as much as he did last year. That's what led to his injury. I hope that they can kind of rein that in a little bit. I'm not saying not run, but, you know, kind of, you know, you want to scale back on the times he set sail, because then he's putting himself at big risk. So, you know, they did a good job bringing Pittman back. And I love Kenny Moore. I mean, I thought the Eagles would probably be in play for him. You know, they need a slot corner. They have one of the former Colts guys that was suspended last year, Isaiah Rogers, suspended for the year for, you know, gambling. He's going to be with the Eagles. Can he play the slot? I mean, I think the Eagles are kind of hoping he can. I know he's a really good outside corner in Indy before the suspension, but, you know, the Eagles need corner, slot corners. They got caught shorthanded there last year, really impacted their defense. And Kenny Moore, you know, he's one of the best in the business, I think. And, you know, it's a rich deal, 3 years, $30 million, but that's okay. I mean, you got to pay these guys. I mean, the way how hard it is to play defense in the NFL now, you need guys that can cover these electric, fast, big, strong receivers. So I love that signing. And Zaire Franklin, you know, Philly kid, grew up in a bad area in Philadelphia. I got to talk to him a little bit when the Colts came through Philly last year for a joint practice after him and Jason Kelce kind of got into it a little bit during practice that led to the canceling of practice. You know, Zaire Franklin was talking a lot of smack throughout practice, which I like. I like when players do that. You know, that doesn't bother me. I find that pretty fun, you know. But, you know, Kelce had enough, and he charged about 20 yards down the field and just drilled Franklin when he wasn't expecting it. And then, you know, both benches, so to speak, cleared, and a lot of pushing and shoving, and then the practice was canceled. But I talked to Franklin. Yeah, I like that kid. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I really like him. I think he's the heart and soul of that defense, and that was a good signing. So, you know, Chris Ballard, people might want to try to get rid of him, but here in Philly, we've had Howie Roseman for like 20 years, and, you know, he seems to keep getting better at his job. Now, last year he wasn't as good. He lost a lot of guys, didn't have much money under the salary cap, gambled a lot with one-year contracts, but some years are going to be like that. You can't hit home runs every season, and, you know, Ballard's been there – what, eight? This will be his eighth year, I think. I think he went to Indy in 2017.
This will be his eighth year, I believe. Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like stability at that spot.
The difference between Howie Roseman and Ballard is night and day. I mean, Ballard's still one of these guys out here playing checkers, while Howie Roseman's out there playing chess. The thing about it is the resume that Howie Roseman has created in 20 years at Philadelphia. Ballard earned his name as being like head of scouts with he was with the Chiefs and he was with the Bears, and he did a lot of great stuff, and he started out doing good stuff here, but it just seems like that he's made some bad decisions in the draft. You know, we can save that for another day, another time. Let's go ahead and get into some of my winners list, if you will, while we still got you for a few minutes. I've been talking with our good friend Adam Jividen throughout the week, and he's not very happy with it. But I think you can put the Cleveland Browns in a winner's column for the free agency. I mean, yeah, you know, everything depends on their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, which really isn't a great starting point at this point. But they did improve their weapons by bringing on Jerry Jeudy in that trade. They got on – they retained Za'Darius Smith and Shelby Harris. So they got those guys, and they don't have Joe Flacco anymore, but still, we got Joe Flacco, right? But I think they did okay. Well, when you look at the Cleveland Browns, I mean, like I said, they did get that trade with Jerry Jeudy. That's a huge thing with them. They signed quarterback Jameson Winston, though. There's that. So I still give them a B. I mean, I know that's an average grade, but I mean, I think they are in a good position, and they did well. What are your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, and I like that Quentin Jefferson they brought in, a defensive tackle, another player for Jim Schwartz to kind of mold into his defense. And Jerry Jeudy, I'm not sure. I mean, certainly looks good on paper, and he should certainly, I would think, take a step up with the Browns opposite of Amari Cooper. So that's probably a good signing. I like they kept Za'Darius Smith. And, you know, I think something that I think just came about maybe yesterday or earlier in the week was they brought on Mike Vrabel onto their coaching staff. I don't know what he's going to do, but, you know, Vrabel, the former head coach of the Titans, really good linebacker with the Patriots. I mean, he's going to help in some form. Because, you know, Tom, obviously you bring these guys in and it's all about coaching, you know, and like I talked about earlier, you got to get chemistry, have to develop chemistry in that locker room and off the field and on the field. And, you know, Vrabel, having been the head coach, kind of understands culture and the value of that. And I think that's going to help this defense. So that's kind of an under the radar move to me, is bringing in Vrabel on that coaching staff. So, yeah, I like what the Browns have done. Stefanski, reigning head coach of the year, and now we'll see how they can put it all together and keep ascending. You know, last year was a good step, and we'll see if they can go even further this year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Houston Texans. As much as I hate to talk about the Houston Texans being in the AFC South, they're paying a lot of money, and they extended their running back. They extended to new running back Joe Mixon. Which was kind of a head scratcher. Then, of course, pass rusher Daniel Hunter and then Will Anderson Jr. So they paid some money. I mean, I think they did well. C.J. Stroud, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I'd like to think that the Houston Texans made, if you're a Texans fan, you got to be okay with what they've done in the preseason as well. And they also re-signed their kicker for $15.9 million. So they've got some key players there, and, you know, they signed a lot of people and extended a lot of people. So, you know, you got to give them an A in everything that they've done. As much as I don't like to do that as a Colts fan, who wants to see a rival in the AFC South become a better team right in front of your eyes? But hey, give credit where credit's due, right? What are your thoughts on the Texans?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I give you credit for giving credit where credit's due. That's a lot of credit. But, yeah, I think Nick Caserio has done a real good job. I mean, he's up there with Howie Roseman in terms of staying busy. So, yeah, I think he's done a good job. I mean, trading, I think it was a seventh-round pick for Joe Mixon. I know Mixon's 28, and, you know, you give a guy a three-year deal. I don't know what the guts of that contract looks like, but, you know, he's going to be 31, I guess, when it's done, and a little on the older side, but, you know, beefed up that backfield a little bit. And, you know, brought in, you know, helped the defense, Danico Autry, who played for the Colts at one time. He brought in a linebacker from Tennessee, Azeez Al-Shaahir, who I thought maybe the Eagles might try to go after. You know, Jeff Okuda, who's kind of a reclamation project at cornerback. I like the safety he signed, Lonnie Johnson. So, yeah, he's done some good stuff. I thought one of the curious things he did, though, kind of a head-scratcher, was he traded out of his 23rd overall pick. And I guess, do the Texans have any other first-round picks? I'm not real sure, but they traded their 23rd pick.
They did, yeah. It was kind of weird how that came about. They're not so concerned about first rounds anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. You know, you get that extra fifth year, you're going to have to pay a first-rounder probably more on a if you pick up his team option in that fifth year. And, you know, maybe that's just how they have things budgeted, you know, for future years. So. But, yeah, I was curious to just trade back and get number 42, pick number 42 overall, and I think it was number 188 for their 23rd overall pick. I don't know if that is as much at all it helps Houston. But, you know, there are probably reasons for that I'm not aware of. But that, to me, was probably the most curious and head-scratching move of Nick Caserio this offseason.
Well, now let's go to a fun part for you anyway. Your rival over in the NFC, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody sucked a bigger egg in the free agency than Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. He kept reciting as the off-season motto, surely he didn't anticipate the biggest March headlines to involve an off-field legal dispute with star quarterback Dak Prescott, savvy linebacker Eric Kendricks, in a solid find in the middle of the defense. But really, you didn't go back and we think about Derrick Henry going to, and we'll get to that in just a second. We only got a few more minutes here. Time flies. Derrick Henry leaving the Titans. Again, not disappointed by AFC South team. Derrick Henry was a beast. and is a beast. And we'll see how he fits in that mix over there at Baltimore. We'll get into that in just a second. The Dallas Cowboys did nothing. They did re-sign Carl Davis Jr., Trent Seig, and I heard, of course, hearsay is what it is, but I heard that Derrick Henry was trying and hoping that he would get a date with the Dallas Cowboys, and they never came asking. And he's like, all right, I'm done. And I heard that by many sources that that Jerry Jones had a very good opportunity on the table to get Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry wanted to play for the Cowboys. The Cowboys didn't want Derrick Henry or didn't even try. I feel like that they sucked at egg big time, and it's going to come back to haunt them later on in the year in the 2024 season with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they're an easy target after Jerry Jones says we're going to go all in, and then, you know, all in proves that all you're doing is losing guys. They lost, you know, Tony Pollard, who goes to replace Henry with the Titans. They lost, you know, their offensive tackle, Tyron Smith, who just signed with the Jets. That's a huge loss. Tyler Biadasz, another guy, the center. So, he left. So they lose two guys on that offensive line. They lost a couple guys on their defensive line, Neville Gallimore and Dorrance Armstrong. Dante Fowler left. They cut Michael Gallup today, and Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker, with a failed physical. So, you know, they only signed that linebacker, Eric Kendricks. I'm not sure how much, he doesn't move the needle too much. But, you know, again, it comes back to Dak Prescott. He's just eaten up so much of that salary cap. And then, talking about first-round picks, the Cowboys have to find a way to sign CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, you know, two former first-round picks who are going to command an awful lot of money. So, you know, they really can't afford to go playing around in the first wave or the second wave or the third wave of free agency. They're going to have to kind of, you know, shop in the dollar aisle, maybe sometime in April, when the free agent market's nothing but, you know, bones and crumbs, and they're going to have to try to find some guys that maybe can come in and give them depth because they just don't have the money, and that's a problem. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb, one of the best receivers in the game, Michael Parsons, one of the biggest defensive stars in the game, you don't want to lose those guys. So you're going to have to find a way to renegotiate Dak Prescott's contract in order to pay these two guys, but they just can't go spending money frivolously when they have these contracts that are looming that they're going to have to pay.
Well, let's get a couple more teams I want to talk about or key player things, and then we'll let you go. Let's go back over to Baltimore, which I'll be in Baltimore next Sunday. That's neither here nor there, but we're flying back from vacation, and we are flying from Raleigh to Indianapolis, and so they're taking us to Baltimore. We're going to spend a little time in Baltimore, and then we're flying to Indianapolis. Makes absolutely no sense to me, but hey. I saw a squirrel there for a second. So anyway, and that's one airport I've never been to, Baltimore Airport. So there you go. But let's talk a little bit about this new duo of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. You know, I look at it like this. I have two dogs that have established their dominance in my household by far. And if I bring in another dog, no matter how good of a little doggy that is, it's going to be met by the dominance already established in my household. I compare that, maybe it's not a good comparison, to Lamar Jackson being that dominant presence in the backfield for Baltimore. I feel like if it works out, it's certainly going to be an absolute nightmare for opposing defenses. And I can't wait to see it in action if it actually happens. Do you think that dynamic is a bad dynamic or a good dynamic? I don't know, because a lot of people have kind of been making that same comparison that, you know, Lamar Jackson has established himself in Baltimore, and Derrick Henry, as great as he is, he's no Lamar Jackson, and he's never been a part of the – there's that jail that you were talking about earlier on. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I guess it's a good match to me. I think it is. I mean, Lamar obviously loves to take off and run the ball as well, and that's a big part of their offense. But, you know, Henry might take a little bit of that load off, but they've had good running games, and they were a good running team last year. You know, J.K. Dobbins, who's still a free agent. So, you know, I don't know if he takes that backfield to the next level. And I've always, you know, at this point, I know everybody keeps waiting for Henry to slow down. I mean, he's 30 years old now. He's got over, you know, 2,100 touches in the NFL, which is a lot of wear and tear. But he just seems to keep on going. I mean, you know, those last 2 years, he's been over 1,000 yards. He's over 2,000 yards years ago. I mean, this guy just keeps on going. And I keep waiting for him to slow down. And, you know, I haven't been a big fan of trading for him or signing him this year because of his age and his wear and tear. But, you know, I've been wrong on Derrick Henry, and maybe he has some left. I guess he does. The Ravens are counting on it. 2-year deal. And I'm not sure he elevates that backfield to the next level. I just think it's a good backfield, good O-line as it is. And I think that Jackson and Henry will just keep things going the way they've been going, and that's pretty darn good. They went to the AFC Championship game last year, and I would expect they'll get back there this year too, or at least make a strong push to, you know, with or without Henry. So, you know, it's always good to have a guy like that, I guess, on the field and in the locker room and as a good signing, and I think him and Jackson will be just fine in the backfield together.
Well, hopefully we won't have to see him again until like the playoffs or something. It would be interesting. Yeah. It will be interesting to see us play against him with another team, because I'm not sure if we play the Ravens this year or not in regular season. I don't know. I have to check. But nonetheless, interesting matchup. We'll see where it is. Let's talk real quickly here. The Broncos released Russell Wilson. He is now going to his third team. He's not what he ever was in Seattle. Not sure what happened to him. He caught a lot of flack by saying that, you know, he wants to be with a team that wants him, basically saying the Broncos didn't want him and that he'll win a Super Bowl. Does he win a Super Bowl with the Steelers? I don't know, but they got rid of Mitch Trubisky. Steelers have been kind of a train wreck. And, you know, again, that's one of those head coaches positions that are coveted in the NFL, because once you're in with the Steelers, you're in with the Steelers. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, they stick with you. And so they've had a good run with their coach, but they've lost Big Ben. Mitch came in. So all eyes are on that quarterback situation. Can Russell Wilson fill those shoes? I don't know. But they did do some other good signings. They signed a punter as well. Running joke there. They signed Patrick Queen they acquired via trade Dante Jackson. So a lot of stuff going on over there in the Pittsburgh Steeler world. Russell Wilson and his impact on the Steelers, immediate or long-term?
Well, it's got to be immediate. You know, he only signed a 1-year deal for cheap because the Broncos are going to keep paying him most of his salary. So it's got to be immediate. 1-year deal. The Steelers don't have any other quarterbacks left on their roster. You know, Mason Rudolph signed with somebody. And, of course, the Eagles traded and got Kenny Pickett. So it's got to be Russell Wilson. And you wonder about Wilson. I mean, yeah, he's had some down years. He's older, 35, you know, but we've seen quarterbacks play into their late 30s. It's just how motivated do you continue to be without being distracted by off-the-field stuff and, you know, maybe not working quite as hard. I'm not saying Wilson's doing any of that, but you always wonder, you know, what their approach is to the game once they hit that age. But, yeah, I mean, the Steelers got better, and they were already a good team last year. And, you know, I liked some of the moves they made, bringing in Patrick Queen, and, you know, that's a good move. And I like the fact that I think Arthur Smith now, the former head coach in Atlanta, is their offensive coordinator. And, you know, that guy did some good things when he was with the Titans as the OC. So that's going to help. And, you know, playing in Pittsburgh is a really good tradition that they have. Maybe Wilson – you know, I don't want to say we'll be more motivated, but maybe that helps being in a city that just bleeds Pittsburgh Steelers football. Because if he doesn't do it, who knows what his career is going to hold. He's only there 1 year. You know, he's playing for a contract now, so maybe that'll motivate him to have a good season. But either way, I think the Steelers will make a pretty good push to get to the Super Bowl this year. I don't think it'll happen. I think, you know, the AFC is a tough conference, obviously. But the Steelers could make some noise and get into that mix for sure. But they just got to find quarterbacks now to back up Russell Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed Kratz, beat writer from Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com. Ed, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You can say no comment. But just kidding with you. Are you going to be in the March Madness bracket with the balance this year, sir?
I thought you were going to ask me for my Super Bowl prediction.
Okay. You go ahead and give me that. You can go ahead and throw that out there.
No, I'm not going to go there. Am I going to be in the March Madness practice? I'm going to mull it over today, Tom, and I'll get you
offline.
All right,
I'll let you mull it over.
I'm going to mull. Today's a good mull day, nice day.
I'll get you.
Hang out.
Let you mull.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy. Where can people find your work in Masterpieces? And of course, we try to get as much stuff as we possibly can up on our social media with you.
Yeah,
I appreciate you coming in on the off season on your busy week. Where can people find you?
Yeah, anytime. Anytime. Yeah, Twitter or X on the X platform, at KRACZE, at KRACZE. All the links get posted there. You can hit the site, si.com/NFL/Eagles. If you care to read about the Eagles and all these crazy moves they're making here, keeping me way too busy here as I get ready to welcome spring into the world, favorite time of year. Yeah.
I love it. All right, Ed, you have yourself a good week. We always love hearing
you. All right. Thanks, Tom. You too.
See you, buddy. Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and SI.com, always elevates this show to a whole new level, right? The bar is set. It is March Madness, and get your bracket. We've got it up on social media. It's pinned on the X at T Balance, and then go to the Book of Faces as well. The Balance, just let us know, or you can tweet us and say, hey, I want to play in that in your bracket. It's free. You get to do two brackets. It's just for bragging rights, if you will. But that's going to wrap it up and put a bow on it. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Thank you for joining us today. Make sure you follow us on all of the platforms to get your podcast, whether that be Apple, whether that be Spotify, whether that be Amazon, iHeart, Stitcher. Tune in. I could just go on and on and on. Make sure you hit like so we know how awesome you are. We know how awesome we are. I'm out of here. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. Deuces. Football time. Once again, it's on.